Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Kyla Hardy, CEO of Cloudbreak Discovery. How's things going, Kyla? It's been a while since we talked.
It has been a while, guys. Happy to be back on here. And it's been a pretty busy few months for us.
So it sounds like, just looking at your last RNS, there was an interesting, it was 31st of May, so literally like about a week ago, where you talked about acquiring a 3.75% interest or royalty interest on the Maston Unit Energy Project. I believe it's down in Cochrane County, Texas. Do you want to just talk? I mean, the interesting thing is obviously the last RNS I think we had before that was about the oil fields or the oil assets in Namibia. Do you want to just talk us through the not the rationale, but the sudden move into the energy space?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I'll just touch on Namibia before we hop into the Texas royalty there with G2. Namibia was a very logical entry point for us. It very much followed our project generation methodology that we use in the exploration business on the other side of the resource sector. And we provide technical and financial expertise and backing to two distinct groups for two very large prospective energy blocks there. And we saw what Recon Energy were doing, a Canadian listed issuer, and they've got some beautiful price target on them, giving them nearly $3 billion market cap target as an exploration company. So, the size of the prize in Namibia was just too hard to ignore. And, it really fits part of our concept of energy transition. We're really looking at this natural gas side of stuff. Great energy, great transitionary fuel from very heavy, intense carbon-based, coal, oil, these types of things, and use natural gas, which has a much lighter carbon footprint, as we move into things like renewables and nuclear and, hydro storage, hydrogen, these types of things, right? So that was our rationale around Namibia. We're very excited to be working with them. The management team, the technical team in there, very successful group of international energy executives, partnered with local geological expertise. So we hope to have some news and over the coming six to eight weeks on the close of those, which would be really nice to see. And from there that we've been really thinking about cash flow and royalties and how do we have that recurring component in Cloudbreak in order to so we don't have to always go back to the market and finance in order to do another, acquire another bit of land, farm that bit of land out to another group to advance it and hopefully lead to a discovery. And we just kept coming back to this royalty concept and energy royalties in particular. I've got a history in energy royalties. I built a small energy royalty company in the Southeast United States a number of years ago, and I'm finally off my non-compete on that. So might as well deploy the same structure again, right? And so when you look at royalties, mining royalties, that's up to sometimes decades before you see any return on that. And we've got plenty of royalties on our exploration projects all over North America and that. But, you're going to drill 800 plus holes, go through a ton of engineering. You're going to drill one hole and potentially have revenue off of it in the energy space.
The thing I like about this is the fact that it's an already, or the Cochrane one is an already producing well. It's not like you're investing in a complete wildcat. I mean, the thing is, you look at the stocks in this market, we've seen them recently in the UK, is you've got Advance Energy, they hit a duster. I mean, there's nothing worse as an investor when you hit this duster, no hydrocarbon shows, I mean, that is horrific. But when you're investing in something that's an actual producer, it's a completely different story, right?
Exactly. And that's, so we've taken our, again, back to this project generator methodology that we use on the mineral exploration side of stuff. We've taken that and put that onto the energy side of stuff. We're looking at brownfield opportunities. We're not going out wildcatting wells or bringing management teams on to go and wildcat wells. We've got a really great technical team based down in Houston. We've got a couple of land guys based down in Houston. So we got a really nice, Houston, Texas, I should say. There's a couple of Houstons globally. Heart of energy in the US, if you will, there. And we're going after and buying royalties on brownfield projects that can, they can either re-enter the wells, they can directional drill for laterals off of them, they can recomplete wells, there's already oil in place. We know that. And it's such a low cost to increase the production off that. So with G2, we've got about a 20-month return on capital on that for our $2 million US investment in that. This is the first of, multiple of these that we have lined up. We've gone out, we've made proposals to a number of groups now in order to start to acquire more of these and build cash flow, really build it. So now we can take that, that 3.25% royalty, that's a great override. We don't have any costs on that. And moving forward, we gave them a debenture. So we're second secured on that. So if they default, we've got a new project. I don't think they're going to default, but things go sideways sometimes.
Yeah, of course, it's a risk. And that's what debentures at work, isn't it? You take the risk and the element of it. But
exactly. And we're able to structure it in such a way that we can kind of, get that high return on capital. We got warrants on top of that in the company now. And we've got a relationship where they want to work with us to bring more and more and more land and development opportunities into that company, based on how our area of interest and area of influence are work around that royalty. So it's the first one. It's a start. It's a small one. It's on 80 barrels right now. I think based on their development plan, they're going to take that to over 800 barrels over the coming months here, which looks completely feasible based on the engineering. And then they've already approached us with the next one, so we're just going to toss that in line with a bunch more that we've gone out and generated and made proposals on.
Yeah, we have a company in the UK stock market, Diversified Oil, and it actually does it in the UK, in the US. Completely. And that guy's created a £1 billion company now from doing exactly what you're talking about. Exactly. He takes brownfield sites and improves the barrels per day or whatever. And then also he avoids legacy costs as well. Because this is one of the big things with the oil is that, when you close down the well, then there's big costs involved for these guys.
Your P&A can really add up. Plug and abandon is P&A. When you have legacy liabilities. But Kevin, I'm with you. I think Diversified has done an absolutely brilliant job of building a really interesting company. I'm personally a shareholder in it. Because I like what they're doing so much. I sort of stumbled across them two or three years ago, and have just ever since I saw them started picking shares up because I like that model. And we've taken part of that thinking that they've put together over there and deployed it in a little bit different way over here.
When you look at this isn't an advert for Diversified, by the way, because we want to buy CDL, but the scenario is that they're paying 10, 11, 12% dividends. Yeah. How on a £1 billion company are you paying 10, 11, 12, and it's been higher dividends? Why? Because when you have an operating oil well that is just producing oil, and ultimately you have no costs of drilling and everything else, it's just cash flow, cash flow, cash flow, cash flow. And that's basically what's happened. And that's what CDL needs. So I'm really pleased that this is what's happening.
Well, thank you very much for that. I'm glad you're pleased. We're very pleased with it. And, it fits in. Ultimately, it fits in with our business plan, which is, build revenue, build cash flow, return cash flow to the shareholders. That's really what we want to get to at the end of the day here, because we are major shareholders. We've aligned ourselves by investing a lot into this company, and we continue to be investors and acquire additional shares in the company as well, because we do see that our business plan is working. It's one step after another, and the market gets soft every now and then, but hey, for us, we've taken advantage of that, and we've picked up additional equity in our own company. So happy days.
What is the situation? There was two things that I've got in my mind, so I'll ask them both at the same time, but you can answer them one at a time, obviously. The first one was the gold prospects that we had in Africa that we talked about, and the other one was the lithium brine stuff that was in, I think, Pennsylvania or around that in the US.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What about those?
The gold assets in Cote d'Ivoire that we were going after, we ultimately decided to take a step back from them. The underlying vendors became a little bit too greedy, unfortunately, or they had differing views of what we wanted to do. I'm not quite sure how it all sort of came together, but you know, we decided, well, we're spending a lot of time on this and we don't see an end in sight, so we stepped back from that. We've engaged with a number of other groups within the region. We're still, you know, we're very active in West Africa right now and are really pulling towards closing out two new acquisitions there, larger ones, which I'm happy to say, and I'll be I can't wait to tell our shareholders and our viewers about that there. And then the lithium in Eastern US has gone; it's just going really well. We've acquired a lot of land at this stage. We'll start talking about the exact particulars here shortly. It has taken a little longer, just trying to educate the local landholders on what lithium is, on what brine production is. It's not oil and gas production. It's not open pit mining. It's this weird little dichotomy in the middle of everything, and it's just taken a little longer to get everyone understanding that. But you know, our land target size is 6,500 square kilometers. You know, and if you want to quantify that, that's larger than the state of Delaware, I believe. It's a big bit of area. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's much bigger than London and probably the southeast of England. If we,
I was going to say it's bigger than the southeast of England. Actually,
I'm going to say London, man. It's like Delhi. You think, right? We were driving across five states. It took us about 15 hours. Like, and we Pennsylvania itself takes you 4 hours to drive over, man. This is massive. And yeah. I wasn't hanging around in the Velar, was I? Do you know what I mean? And sometimes you were hanging on for dear life. So ultimately we were getting through a lot of ground in the US. Yeah. But yeah, it's a big old space.
It is. And you know what? The nice thing is for us, this is true project generation. This is going after a target that, you know, is a brand new target. Really no one else working in the area on the same stuff. There's been some activity recently about people trying to do the same stuff, but you know, we've been at it for 19 months doing all of our engineering and geological work, and we're ahead of everyone. We know the targets. We know, you know, our land people have knocked on every door that we need to knock on at this stage, and it's getting deals signed now, which we're happy to say is happening. So it will be a major part of our play. Yeah, it's taking a little longer than expected, but you know, welcome to resources. That seems to be the story du jour, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, we had this discussion actually before we started the podcast. Just my thinking really is that the resource sector has to re-rate, partly because the resources themselves have escalated in value, and partly because the majors are all making huge profits at the minute, but depleting their assets. So they're going to have to get assets from somewhere down the line. So this whole situation where you're going to have many projects which can either be involved in M&A or produce the assets themselves is going to play right into the hands of the next year or two, I think.
I agree. I completely agree. It's you know, you don't build batteries, you don't build EVs without metal. So, you know, it's part of that transition, and there's not enough metal being produced right now to meet demand, whether it's copper, whether it's nickel, whether it's graphite, whether it's lithium, whether it's...
As long as you've got a finger in as many of those pies as possible, then you mitigate, you know what I mean? You're de-risking on everything, aren't you? I mean, I'm not saying that one's going to go, yeah, sure, one will go higher than the other in the short term, but ultimately all of these resources, these EV metals are going to have the day. And, you know, you grow, whether it's graphite, lithium brine, you know, nickel sulfide, copper, cobalt, you know, you name them all. And also now I like the fact, as I say, we've said you're branching out into the oil, to the gas side of things. You've got your helium aspect. That's one question we didn't ask. What's the update on Imperial Helium there as well, Kyla?
Yeah. So as of Friday, the circular's gone out to shareholders here for to vote on the merger or the acquisition by Royal Helium. I'm very excited about this, guys. I think Royal Helium is a great firm to merge with and take this forward. It's, you know, one thing I notice that we do a lot of on here is, you know, we sort of use adages, but I'm going to use one anyways because I don't know why not. In this case, 1 + 1 is very much 3 or 4 rather than 2. It's, yeah, you know, they've got a great capital market strategy. Andrew Davidson, the CEO over there, him and I have known each other for nearly a decade. We've never executed on a project together, but we've talked about a number of them. And, you know, I've got a great degree of confidence in what they're going to do. And, you know, will be so the Steveville asset will be one of two fields that they're going to put on stream, probably, if not late this year, I would say probably early next year, just simply because of you know, equipment supply constraints will be the only holdup on that. Yeah. They're well financed, they've got a really good capital markets backing, and it, to me, as soon as I'm allowed to buy, I'm a net buyer of.
How do you think this will affect the listing price of the Imperial stocks? Because they've remained pretty static. Do you think there's going to be the fact that they're going to be brought online and the interest? Do you think this is going to be have a, you know, a positive effect on it?
I think once you see the merger completed and you remove that merger risk, I think that the combined stock under the ticker symbol RHC on the TSXV. We'll get a good win behind it because we'll be able to start to push the pieces forward, close additional deals, you know, get supply deals in place, these types of things that I know that Royal's been working on behind the scenes. And this will be a good update for everything. And, you know, outside of that, you know, helium deposits, there's some big ones out there, but ultimately, in my view, in order to get a major or, you know, like one of these international firms, whether it's a marketer or whether it's an energy producer or whether it's a national oil and gas company, to get them interested in something, you're going to need somebody that's going to go out and be the natural consolidator of helium projects across North America. And I think Royal is well positioned to do that. You know, we'll increase, hopefully, the price of the stock and start to pick up a few more things and be that natural consolidator. So you can build, you know, a $500 million company. And, you know, then it's a ready built division, if you will, for a larger company to come and buy or take on or partner with. And it's, yeah, I am very bullish on it. Andrew's plan is, for lack of a better term, impeccable. It is a very well thought out plan. They're well connected with the Saskatchewan government, who are very supportive of them. And I think that will kind of be the differentiating factor when we start to build a couple of helium plants.
Yeah, brilliant news. I mean, it sounds like you're very enthused about that one. Kyla Hardy, CEO of Cloudbreak Discovery, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Phil and Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Rory. I just called you Rory. Let me say again, thanks, Kyla.
Kevin, I'm much handsomer. Come on.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.